Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, anybody come in to praise the Lord today? Anybody come to praise the Lord?
Yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We praise you, God. We thank you, Lord. Lord, we honor you. We praise you. We worship you today, Lord. Father, we just ask in the midst of this service today that you would continue your presence. God, teach us, train us, and rebuke us if necessary into your ways. So, God, whatever you need today, let us decrease, you increase. Scales from our eyes, plugs from our ears, God, narrowly focused on the infallible word of God today. God, we give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you the glory. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray and everyone said.
Amen.
Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap before you sit down. All right. Amen. Glad you're here today. And just did a little formalities up front. We got birthday. This is birthday Sunday, so everybody knows that already. But, and we got a lot of birthdays this month. Amen. But some, I hate to say, you're not people that celebrate a birthday that's very extremely dear and near to my heart that I want to celebrate today. And today is her birthday. The day before yesterday was his birthday. And I love them like, as you say, my mom and pop, my spiritual mother and father as well. But they stand so for recognition in the back, Fred and Sandy Schultz. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And then, you know, God puts all of you in my life, but I have a daughter that I adopted. Today's her birthday, and so that's Debbie, Miss Debbie. Yeah. So a lot of you girls are my daughters, and so a lot of you guys are my sons, and so I got a big family. Amen. So I appreciate so much all the birthdays. We'll bring all the birthday people up at the end, and we're going to sing happy birthday. But I just don't want to forget it, because at their age, sometimes I forget. All right? So I just don't want to forget the birthdays today. And, you know, and you guys got to celebrate the football team and the cheerleaders. And I'm going to tell you, it's, if you ever play any sports, it's always a challenge to remain a Christ-centered follower in the adversity that's around you. I want you to know our team and our cheerleaders exemplified Christianity on and off the field. And we brought them up to celebrate them because it's so important of how much they mean to us, but how you guys are teaching them what their future is really all about. So if you get a chance later today for the cheerleaders or the football players, make sure that you really thank them for representing Christ and doing it well. Amen? All right, so at the end of the service, don't forget the birthdays. All right, somebody's got that for me. And then the second part is we're going to do some other stuff. We're going to do this baptism service. So a little, we're going to do a baby dedication and a baptism service. And it's funny because I just want to share with you this morning. You're going to say, well, I thought we were doing a baptism service. Well, we are. In order to be baptized, what you got to do is you got to unpack some junk. Okay, you got to come to the place where you begin to understand. Now, we know that baptism is an outward expression of an inward faith. We know that when John the Baptist baptized Jesus Christ, he said, now do as I've done. We know that that dove that ascended down on Jesus was the Holy Spirit, which is the same dove, the Holy Spirit that you have in you today. Can you say amen?
Amen.
It's important that we understand the purpose of baptism. It's the death of something and the birth of something. What happens is that when we do baptism today, we're going to go ahead and we're going to say this. Something's dying today, and God is birthing or bringing up something brand new in someone today. Can you say amen? Now, what's important that everybody is in the sound of my voice, as we have accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, so often what we might neglect to do is understand that I was dead. I was put to death. When I was born again, I was put to death. When I come up out of the baptism, when I was put to death by Jesus Christ, he rose me up new. I got to begin to have the vocabulary that understands that I am not an ex anything. What I am is a born again, delivered disciple of Jesus Christ. I've been healed, delivered, and set free in Jesus' name. Let's give you a hand clap. Amen. Everybody say, okay, I hear you. I hear you. I'm going to preach a quick message. We got to get to the birthday cake. All right, so listen. Everybody look at this bag. Everybody see this bag? You know, it's just a suitcase. Unless my wife packs it. All right, so I want to give you a little backdrop in a minute. But I got a question for you I don't want you to leave here without answering today. Put it up. Are your bags too heavy? Are your bags too heavy? Well, here's what I tell my wife when we was flying out of the country and stuff. I said, don't pack our bags too heavy. She said, well, we got to get everything we need. And we're going to be gone for 6 whole days. So keep in the back of your mind, 6 days. Man, I can do one pair of underwear for 6 days. I'm cool. All right? Now, is she going to be real picky about I'll take 6 pair of underwear? But don't forget, I got one on, right? I said, don't do nothing extra. So, okay, everybody got that mindset? All right, do not pack too heavy. Now, I want to share with you, starting in Scripture this morning, Hebrews chapter 12, some familiar Scripture. And I'm going to share with you, break it down just a little bit, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Now, in verse 1, this is an encouragement to you and I. If you are a born-again believer, you're to persevere. Last night in our Saturday evening service, we were sitting in there. I don't know, there's 10 of us is all there was from the church that was there presenting the service to about 20. But let me tell you what happened was the devil showed up. Can you believe it? The audacity of the devil. He showed up in a Christian service. He got his eyes blacked and he got beat and he got kicked out. That's what happened. But, you know, and the whole time God had showed me in a vision the night before that, you're getting ready to go into a war. And as we're in this war, he was telling me, I need you to persevere. But there was something that happened that was really bad. As we're doing praise and worship, Bree, wave your hand. Jenna, wave your hand. They was in the way of the enemy. So as they began to sway back and forth doing praise and worship, I'm behind them. I'm just praising God. And I said, oh, I'm locked and loaded. That enemy started calling me out and cursing me. As they didn't begin to curse me, every time they go back and forth, the devil would roar because they was getting in the way of what the enemy is trying to do. But I already know that I'm going to persevere under this attack. So I didn't say nothing, but I began to pray and allow God to do what only God can do. And in the midst of that, little old Jana gets up and she begins to rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus. And then Bree stands up and she begins to take authority over the enemy. And all of a sudden, we begin to watch God lift them up and everybody say it, persevere. In the midst of adversity, in the midst of every attack, the enemy will come at you with, you are a perseverer. You will overcome because you've already overcome. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witness, let us throw off everything. Everybody say, throw it off. You ready for this part? It says, throw it off. Everybody catch that part? Okay, then why you keep packing the bag? Okay, I'll keep going. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. What is it that always entangles you? What promotes or what allows your sinful behavior, your sinful nature to be recognized over and over and over again? Here it is again. NAAACR, people, places, things. Oh, that's not real hard, right? Let's say it again. Everybody with me. People, places, and things. So in every branch of recovery that we're part of, it all says that the same thing, that we're to persevere. And then it says, and let us run with perseverance the race that's marked out for us. Our races are different. They're different races. The great cloud of witnessing mentioned here is composed of the people that's described in Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter. By faith, their faithfulness is a constant encouragement to us. We do not struggle alone. We are not the first to struggle. And the problem we face, others have run the race and they have won the race. And their witness should be stirring us to run and win as well. What an inspiring heritage that we have and have had presented before us to run the race that God has set before us. We must strip ourselves of the things that slow us down. Now, I could go into this long explanation about running with endurance and perseverance, but what you got to do is you got to get rid of the things that slows you down. Here we go again, people, places, and things. Now, what happens is the enemy tries to mess that up. What God's telling you is this: I'm not talking to everybody. I'm talking to you. All right, so for me, I shared this with a girl earlier. I said, man, I had to really strip myself because I noticed that what they wanted to do is they wanted to hold me down, hold me back, and keep me from going where God wanted me to go. Can't say amen. Amen. So everybody got them people in their life?
Yes.
Somebody said, Renz, you better watch out. Saying that loud, your wife's here. Only joking. Only joking. I don't know where she's at. I'm making sure she ain't throwing something. But listen. This is what happens so often. We get to the place where we're not really, truly willing to strip ourselves. But if you're really dead to yourself, everybody catch that part? If you're really dead to you, my wants, I want what I want, when I want it, how I want it, selfish and self-driven, self-desire, self, right? You're going to do what God tells you to do. You're going to do what God tells you to do. And let me tell you how you know if a person or you are lining up with that, does your mouth and actions line up with his word, not your opinion? Now, I'm going to preach more of this later on. Well, I want to, and God says, is that what God says? It said, you said that when you accepted Jesus Christ, that died. So why do you keep doing the same thing? This is a question we're going to unpack. Everybody still with me?
Yeah.
Is anybody mad yet?
No.
Well, give me a minute. I'll make you mad before you leave, all right? But you got to choose friends who are committed to the race, faithful friends who are following Jesus Christ. You take your advice from those people who are higher than you. What you do is you're to witness to people, but it tells you that you got to shake dust from your feet. It's telling you that you can't stay and remain in the same place, people, things, because if so, then you're, everybody say Fred's word, stuck. We get stuck in this, and what God's telling you, I'm trying to take you somewhere. You're going to win souls. You're going to win the lost. People are going to see Jesus Christ in you, but I need to elevate you. You can't see the pig from the slop until you take the pig out of the slop. You begin to understand that what God's telling you, if you come on up, I'll clean you. I'll make you pure as white snow, but you got to take the next step. Everybody step it. That's right. Choose friends that are committed, not wrong friends who will detour you. You need to drop certain activities, certain places. These activities may be weighing you down. Get help for addiction that disables you. Get help for addiction that disables you. What's disabling you? Secret weights such as pornography, gambling, and it goes on, alcohol and drug addiction. You need to get faith-based help that loves you. Admit you need and get the help that you need today. The first step in recovery is admit, not denying. Hebrews chapter 12. That's the good lead-in for verse 2. Verse number 2. The only way we're going to migrate to this verse number 2 is getting verse number 1 right. Everybody read this with me. This is the first, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Amen? So, you know, Rico wasn't there last night, but, you know, I'm going to tell you something. I used his testimony last night. Some dude needed to hear it. And I said, man, let me tell you something. I know a dude was in your seat, but let me tell you something. He ain't falling all over himself and going backwards. He's falling forward. Just start doing what's right. Get your Bible up underneath of you. Get it in you so you can come out of you, and you can be a success for Jesus Christ. Quit listening to the devil. As you share that in other people's testimony, that is your testimony. That's what I share about your testimony everywhere I go. God gives me the platform. I begin to say, well, we had that happening, but let me tell you what I've seen God do. You know what I'm saying? Oh, poor baby, the devil beating the brakes off of you. Right? No. Excuse me. So often what happens is we want to wallow in our past. Sometimes our past feels good. It smells like pig do, still is pig do. You get to wallowing in it and want everybody to have pity party, feel sorry for you, save the world while it's taking you away. That's not what God did for you. He ordained you. He called you. He placed your feet up on a rock, and he wants you to shout from the mountaintop how good your God is. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise like you mean it. Hallelujah. Well, it looks like I got a little bit of room in there for a bottle of water that you're not allowed to carry on the plane now, but that's okay. I'm going to try it and go through it because I got my eyes fixed on Jesus. the pioneer, and he is the perfecter of faith for the joy that set before him. He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Is Jesus the one who started and perfected your faith? That's either a yes or a no. Now, if you want to know if he's the one that started your faith, are you surrendered to Jesus Christ? No matter what he's telling you to do, I'm not going to whine about it. I'm not going to complain about it. I'm not going to get bitter or envious or jealous or have unforgiveness in my heart. I'm going to go ahead and say, God, you did it for me. I don't like what's going on, but I am not taking it any longer. I am giving it to you. I am not nobody's little G God. I got a God in heaven who intercedes for me. I got Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father fighting for me. I got everything that I need. I have the Holy Spirit which is in me. But is Jesus the one who started and perfected your faith, or is he trying to still start what you don't wish to be perfected? My little son, my little boy, said it this way: the fence belongs to the devil. Yeah. Are you riding the fence? Probably. And it'll get you again and again. Yeah. Get off the fence. Anything that you want to tell me, come and tell me. And I'll show you stuff that's not in line with Scripture. Okay, and you say, well, all he does is preach this. I'm preaching what the Word says. It's offensive. Because he's trying to tell you, man, it's narrow. Follow that narrow way, right? Everybody still with me? Ain't nobody left yet except security. All right? The Christian life involves this. It involves this thing called hard work. It's the hardest thing I've ever done. All right? For 30 years, I lived for the world. And by the world standard, I was great. I was mean. I was vile. I could drink the most, drug the most, fight the most, whatever you want. I was all that. I was good at it. And I thought, I used to sing this song. I'm so ashamed to even tell you. I was saying I'm on the highway to hell, and I said it don't get no better than this. That's the enemy who hates your guts. I was sold out for Satan, amen? So when Satan rears his head in a service like last night, I said, I'm going to slap you lying, deceiving. I'm going to smack you right in the daggone head. I'm going to beat you up and kick you out of that woman before I leave. Because that's not who she is. That is not who we are. We're made in the express image of Jesus Christ. But you start with college drinking and partying. You start with child sexual immorality where someone abused you when you didn't deserve it. You go ahead where you have less than something. Somebody cut you down or somebody told you was never amount to nothing. That was my life. So everybody always wanted to tear me down. I'm an All-American athlete. And they said, you still suck. You know what I'm talking about. My thing's different than your thing. But it's still the same stinking, lying, deceiving enemy that's always come after you since the day you come out of the womb. And what begins to happen is we begin to pack our bags with garbage, amen. And what God's telling you this morning, it's time to fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith. Listen, it's hard work. It requires us to give up whatever endangers our relationship with God. Well, that don't endanger my relationship. Yeah, it sure does, but you're the only one that don't say it. I had to figure that out myself, right? And so will you. As Corrine and I prepared for the Bahama cruise I was just sharing with you, I consistently, over and over again, told that woman, do not pack too heavy. Now, what in the world was you going to do with two suitcases like that for 6 days? One pair of underwear. You see, and Speedo, too. You can put the Speedo and a pair of underwear in there. Now that we got you going visual, all right, now you're really focused, right? But the truth is this, is that there's no way as a man that I need a suitcase that big for 6 days. As a matter of fact, you can take this real little one right here, and I share it with you because I don't need nothing but that little one right there because a pair of underwear and a Speedo will fit in there. So all joking aside, you just don't need that much, right? So what happens with us, I knew that when I told her it was going to be a battle. So here she is. Here she is. I just get to it. She puts a scale right out when she's packing the bags. She had it right by the iron board where she's folding everything, and she was vacuum sealing it so she'd get it nice and tight. I knew we would be traveling hundreds and hundreds of miles and changing planes and dragging them big old luggage. Honey, you get that for me? Yeah, thanks for packing it for me. So, and then we had to get on the cruise ship. You ever been on a cruise?
Yes.
Well, you got to drag that big old honking everywhere. And as a matter of fact, everybody's mad while you're dragging your big luggage over their toes. I didn't want to pack a bunch of stuff. But I knew that, I just knew that we didn't need it. And there is a 50-pound limit per bag. Oh, boy, that's right there. That's saving grace. Thank you, Lord. Amen. 50 pounds. I know she can't get 50 pounds of stuff in no bag, all right? But that 50-pound weight limit at the airport, on our departure, I was assured she had only packed what we had to have for those 6 days. Two large bags just like that one. That is one of them. You guessed it. When we put them on the scale, 50 pounds exactly. The other was 49.8. She said, see, I didn't go over. Yeah, 100 pounds of clothes for me and her for 6 days. Yeah, I needed every bit of them. Only a couple of pounds from being too much, according to the airport. Man, she knew how to cut it close. Get the scale out. Let's weigh it. They ain't going to tell me it's more than 50 pounds. Today, I want to ask you, are your bags too heavy? What kind of baggage are you traveling with this morning? Are they too heavy? What have you put in your bag? And the third question is, are you overloaded? Is there some struggles going on? I got to be a people pleaser. I got to do what everybody else wants me to do. Everybody's saying no, but you're lying. I heard a bunch of no's. I said, Dad, going with you ain't. You the biggest people pleasers I ever seen. Amen. I just had to talk with some girls out there. Quit trying to please me. I already love you. They said, yeah, but I want to say, man, leave me alone. That gets on my nerves. So we always say this is that the biggest problem in recovery for us, most of the times, is not drugs and alcohol. It's codependency. The need to be needed. And you say, everybody say, uh-oh. This message is for me because I got a codependency luggage and I'm going to be carrying it around. Now, we got to put some things to death. Let's get to it. We got a baptism to do, right? Let's make everybody mad before we drown them. All right. Let's put some things to death. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 10, this scripture is so powerful, but believers have been raised to a new life in Christ. This is the secret. If you've been raised to a new life in Christ, my wife goes to this all the time. She'll get texts from other ladies. If they're at somebody's house, they shouldn't be at. And I said, just shut your mouth. She said, what? I said, don't, no matter how much you tell them, they shouldn't be going around them same people, same places, same things. They will not learn until they get burned. But they're going to go around the same tree, same knot, same branch, same YMA. Yeah, that's okay. Let them go around the same tree, hit the same branch, get the same knot on their head. And she's like, well, I don't like it because I'm trying to mother them. I said, yeah, don't be codependent. She's making a bad choice. I said, let her just get smacked right in the forehead one good time. Right? I'm not saying to be rude, but I got to tell her. And I said, so you see how I pastor guys? Yeah, keep doing the same thing. You ain't getting no different result. Insanity. We hear where I'm at? Let's keep getting in scripture now. It says in verse 5, put to death. Everybody say it. Okay, now that you're mad at me, I called your sin out, codependency, the need to be needed. You got to be everybody's friend, and everything has to be good. I got to please everybody else. It don't really matter about me. I got to be noticed. I got to be known. Look how pretty I am. Oh, watch me. Look at me. Everybody catching all that me stuff? Here you go. If you are born again, truly, what's it say? First three words, put to death. Now, I don't really like that. I like my sin. It smells good, looks good, it feels good. And it does for a season, but it kills me every single time. Look at this. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Everybody catching this? This is word. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. This used to be normal and a normal way of life for me, but it's not anymore. I tell everybody, man, I get higher in a kite, drink all the alcohol. I love drinking, getting drunk, man. I love chasing women. I just don't do it no more. It's not my desire. It's not who I am. I've been born again. I've been set free. You come and hang out with me. I don't never got to be ashamed when somebody's hanging out with me. They say, we just went through somebody. They stand cuss words. I said, let them say them around me. I let them cuss. I'm glad they're around me. Because I'm going to tell them, hey, Jesus loves your filthy mouth. He loves your filthy mouth. And the first thing he took from me was cussing. I cussed like a sailor, but he loved me. Second thing he took from me, let me tell you what it was. It's hard stuff. Lying. He took lying away from me. He said, quit being a liar. You lie about everything. The truth ain't in you. So all of a sudden, I allowed him to move. I allowed these things that we consider normal, a normal way of life. Now, the lying part, I'm not a liar. Flavor crystals, adding to, taking away, making me look good, making everybody think, oh, hey, they know everything. Man, they got their hands in everything. Oh, they know when someone is addicted. They know when someone falls off the boat. Oh, they know when something's going on over here and over there and over here and over there. Everybody catching me? Die. Die to yourself. Okay, everybody, I'm going to keep going. Huh? People getting quiet now. We should consider ourselves this way, dead and unresponsive to such things. Verse 6 says, because of these, the wrath of God is coming. This refers to God's judgment on these kinds of behavior, and it's talking about the formal sinful behavior. Verse 7 says, you used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things. I got a couple of them up here. Look at my suitcase that's overstuffed. I can't get nothing else in it, and I got to carry this all the way everywhere I go. Right? Everybody still with me? Look at this. It says, rid yourself of these things. Anger. Now, I want you to think, do I have one of these? Maybe two of these? Well, maybe all of these. Look at them. I want you to be honest with you. Nobody else's business. Anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Verse 9, do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. So you're being renewed. This is where the war comes from. Don't keep fighting the battle. Win the war. We must rid ourselves of all evil practices and immorality. Right here. Check it out. Okay? This means this happens through seeking things above and making a decisive break with sinful actions and attitudes that always come to encamp around us. Then we can commit ourselves to what Christ teaches us from his word. Can you say amen? Excuse me. Third point. Everybody look at this. Third point. Put it on up there. Clothe yourselves. Nobody wants to see you naked, so take 50 pounds of luggage with you. Clothe yourselves because you're his. This is what you need to be clothed with, him. Amen. Colossians 3:12 says, therefore, as God's chosen people, that's who you are, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassionate kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. This is what we are to adopt because we are a new person. Qualities we have in our new life should be reflected to everyone who is saved and unsaved. Every time they see you, they don't question, are you saved? You might slip up, but you're not a slip up. You might make a mistake, but you're not a mistake. You might be down, but down is not your destiny. That's where you once was. Now you can claim as who you are. I am a child of the Most High God. I serve Christ. He said, I'm not looking for perfection, but I am looking for progression. Continue to foul up and make mistakes and sin, but repent and move in the positive direction, falling forward and not backwards. Can you say amen? Amen. Listen, Paul offers a strategy to help us live for God day by day. Imitate Christ's compassionate, forgiving attitude. Let love guide your life. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Always, always be thankful. Do you know what it's like when all of a sudden you're not thankful anymore? You become ungrateful? Everybody say, oh, what happened to them? Ungrateful, unforgiving, hatred, anger, discord. Something's moved in when it should have been kicked out. Keep God's word in you at all times. At all times, live as Jesus Christ represented, because that's who you really are. When we boarded our connecting flight from the second one from Dayton International to South Carolina to Florida and going through all that, I got embarrassed every single time I had to check my daggone bag. I go on there and he's like, hey, I got 100 pounds of luggage, man. Six-day trip. I was like, I said, you're not married to her. I am, right? Yeah, so they got to have all that stuff, which everybody, oh, you got somebody can defend me a little bit. You guys can. Amen. Yeah. Look, Debbie, get him, Debbie, all right. But when we boarded that flight, the flight attendant asked me if we had checked luggage. I told him yes. He said, can I have your receipt? And I said, yeah, here's my receipt. And I sent it to him. He punched in some numbers and told us that our heavy bags would meet us in Jacksonville. I hope you can lug them when they get there because we got to put them on the plane for you. We showed him, and he punched that ticket and told us that our heavy bags might be too much. Right then, I thought, we are traveling hundreds of miles again with too much baggage. When we arrived in Jacksonville, you guessed it, we had to lug them heavy bags from there to out of the airport, out of the into the hotel. After we changed and everything else and got out of the bus and got into where we was going so we can get onto the ship the next day, and I'm the one lugging these big old suitcases around. And she said, oh, isn't it pretty? Look at the palm trees. I'm thinking, man, you just need, no, he ain't talking to me the rest of the day. You know what I'm talking about, right? Okay, maybe I got the only woman like that. I don't know. But, you know, then we get there. We had too much baggage is the main point. I had too much baggage. Carrying heavy bags will come with a price. So when I'm getting ready to get off the ship, and I'm going to tell you about that in a second. But now my back's hurting. I can't enjoy my vacation. I got a knee problem. I blew my knee out on this trip. I actually wasn't carrying the luggage, Joe. I wasn't carrying the luggage. So in defense of her, you can send the emails to her. But carrying heavy baggage will come with a price. Then on the return home, to get off the ship, who in here has been on a cruise? Put your hands up. You know what I'm talking about, because I can paint you a real picture right here. To get off the ship, you must carry your luggage. It's like, man, you had an awesome 6 days at sea. Man, we celebrated, served you. Get your luggage and get off our ship. We got your money, and now we're done with you. Hurry up, because we only got 4 hours for the next people come in. So get off the ship, carry your luggage down the steps, down the hallways. The elevators are shut off. Everything's plugged up. Go all the way through the ship till you get to the little narrow hallways down on the second or third floor, and then you fight with everybody that's mad to get out the door, to get out there. You're weaving in and out through people and obstacles, and they were now just as heavy as they had ever been. They were slowing me down. I said, do we really need to take any of this home? Well, she goes, luggage overboard. That's how I felt about it. It's time to get something off of me. You know what it's like when that luggage is in, only to turn the corner. When I made it to the exit, I was like, finally. Got to the corner to face confrontation. Confrontation of another passenger, mad and frustrated and cussing and screaming. And I was like, I'm going to join him if I am the pastor. Because everything he's saying, I agree with him. I'm not allowed to say it. Say it again, buddy. What's the matter, buddy? These freaking bags, didn't say it that way, are too heavy. This woman of mine, amen. I said, I'll go and preach a sermon right up in the middle of this. Amen. Hallelujah. They thought for sure they would miss their connecting flight. It got really ugly, really fast. All I done was turn the corner. And there's my son and his wife and their grandkids, and he's worse off than I am. I said, how does it feel to be married, son? I said, enjoy it, especially enjoy the kids' luggage you're carrying too, right? But the fifth point, many Christians miss the flight to heaven because they also are carrying too much baggage. Now, I said this, too many Christians, Christ followers, those who claim to be a Christ follower, it says, broad is the road to destruction, but narrow is the gate to heaven. And only a few will make it. You hear what I'm saying? Some things never did get to die. They were supposed to die. Let's keep going. Many Christians miss the flight to heaven because they're carrying too much baggage. Many Christians will miss the flight to heaven because they are weighed down with too much baggage. You are traveling with these things. You're traveling around and your bag's already completely full. You already know you ain't allowed to have water in it. And all of a sudden what you try to do is you begin to go ahead and say, well, you know what? Life's been really hard on me, and I got to get everything on here. I know I'm allowed to have 50 pounds of hatred inside of me. I know I'm allowed to have 50 pounds of anger inside of me. I'm going to push it to the limit. I'm going to put that in my bag, and I'm going to pack it up. You know what? I'll go ahead and slander somebody, too, because that's the way I like to roll, amen. So you put all this in here, and you go ahead, and you say, now I got to get it in there, and it won't close. You begin to know that what's happening is the stuff you put in begins to come out. You know that you're the people that you need to forgive, but you can't. You know that what you're supposed to do is become better and not bitter. You know that what's happening is malice is setting up in your heart, and what's happening is the enemy begins to hijack you. All of a sudden, you can't do anything right, and nobody around you can do anything right because you begin to envy everything and everybody else. All of a sudden, you get saved, and you think, boy, look how good I am. And all of a sudden, somebody else says, I thought that was a Christian. They look like a hypocrite to me. They say one thing, but they do another thing. I know that they keep telling me they are, but I sure ain't seeing their walk, amen. I don't see the anointing in them. And all of a sudden, what happens? We begin to live a Christian life of deceit. We begin to know that I got a life of deceit. I got to get everything in here. Nobody's allowed to see what I got. I know I can get it all packed in. And all of a sudden, we know it's not there. I can't do it. It's too much. I went too far. It's too heavy. All this unforgiveness and deceit and hate and anger, it's overcame me. I might as well turn to addiction. I might as well allow mental illness to tell me that I deserve suicide. I might as well just quit following Christ and go back to the world. It's not really worth it anyway. But the truth was, you begin to understand what the enemy's doing as he come to steal, to kill, and destroy. He hates your guts. He wants nothing for you to be prosperous. He wants to overpack your bags. He wants you to walk away in certain defeat. He wants to take your water bottle until he can put you in the desert of thirst. What he happens to you next, who knows? We begin to understand what happened to that brother and that sister. They packed their bag. They went the wrong way. You're traveling with hatred. You're traveling with bitterness and unforgiveness in your suitcase of life. It's destroying your health. You're tired all the time because you're worn out. You're drawn by Christ followers and un-Christ followers. When God said, I've drawn you to me. And you still think it's about you. You need to unload some things so on God and lighten up. What you got to do is get your sin out of your life. So I got some sin here. It's real sin. And I want to ask you to forgive me. But just because it's his birthday, I wanted to make sure he has some of this sin. It's Cleveland Brown's biggest fan. There you go, Fred, just for you, buddy. Yeah, I said, I hate even touching that thing. Get out. Man. If you're a Kansas City fan, we'll pray for you, all right. But listen, all of a sudden we begin to try to navigate life with all this baggage. And when the enemy can segregate you, he can conquer you. So all this baggage and hatred and unforgiveness and it's too heavy and I can't take no more, it comes with the results of these things like suicide, mental health breakdowns, overdoses. You hear what I'm saying? I can just keep putting it out there. You know what I'm talking about though, right? I'm trying to slam that suitcase down. I'm jumping on that. I know I can get 50 pounds in there. He said, yeah, I got some 50, and I'm going to put that hatred in there. That's 10 pounds. I'm going to put that deceit in there. That's another 10 pounds. And all of a sudden, you're busting at the seams, and you don't even know why. You need to unload some things on God and lighten up your load this morning. Some things that just don't matter, you need to get rid of them, rid yourself of them. Moses, he was carrying so too much baggage is what was happening to him. He told God not to use him because he stuttered. He told God that he couldn't be used because his baggage, he killed a man. He can't be forgiven. Now he's a murderer. That's not true. God says, I forgive, right? He became angry and he smote the rock because he's mad at stubborn people because of his baggage. He broke the Ten Commandments upon the ground because of his baggage, and his baggage eventually made him miss the promised land. What? Moses, because he has some stubborn, God-chosen Israelites that would not listen. You are God's chosen people. Am I going to spend eternity with you? And are you going to spend it with me? Are we going to spend our time in heaven? It's very simple. You've got to unpack some things. You got to unpack it. Listen, I know this morning I know God's talking to you. I know it's baptism service. But before you ever got in the water the first time, did you unpack that stuff? Or are you still, I got rid of that big bag, but now I got a backpack and it's heavy. You still with me?
Yeah.
Listen, we talked about Moses, but are you going to let your baggage keep you out of your promised land? Are you going to let your baggage keep you out of your promised land? Seventh point. Now that you have tasted the Lord, some things just don't matter. They thought I was stressed about the luggage and the connecting flights that day, but I already knew how all that worked out because I've been on more than one cruise with my wife. I already told him, my son says, well, I got to get off here and to be church on time tomorrow. I got to drive. It's 26 hours. I can make it on time. I got to blah, 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 blah. I said, not me, buddy. I got a connecting flight. I'm going to fly back. I'll be home 12 hours before you get there, 14 hours, actually. He said, all right, Dad, if I had your money, I said, had my money, you got more than I got. right? And you got my money, as a matter of fact, right? But here's the thing. He beat me home. Because when I left, and I ain't getting mad, devil ain't getting it on me. Go ahead and buddy, tell him that luggage too heavy. He embarrassed his family. He embarrassed everybody on that ship that day. And he got to go first. I said, go ahead, you can have our spot. And I said, I want to hallelujah and amen with you, but I think you're wrong cussing. And then we get there, and everything goes good. South Carolina's good. And they said, we're going to give you a little detour to Detroit. And I said, if you don't know in business, I flew all the time. I said, oh, man, Chicago, my bad, Chicago. Sorry, Detroit. So they take me to Chicago, the land of hell. And I get there, and I barely made it the next morning to church. And I was supposed to be home at 6 o'clock at night. I got home at 6 o'clock in the morning. Thank you, Chicago. All right, so nothing against that. It's just a plug. Don't fly Chicago, all right? Now that you have tasted the Lord and some things don't matter, you begin to set yourself up and know these connecting flights are there, but I didn't because it really didn't matter to me at the time until I missed my flight and missed another flight and another flight. It was a time of a little inconvenience, but we had just finished a fun time, and I didn't want to really mess it up complaining. We had to let the guy that was in front of us, remember the mad guy on the ship, we had to let him go ahead because he was busy embarrassing his family. I'll never forget his wife's face and those two little kids' face. That's my daddy. But he embarrassed his family, but it really just didn't matter, and it most definitely didn't ruin our trip. But in closing this morning, listen to this. Some things just don't matter. Everybody see that? Some things just don't matter. You hear me? I'm going to close quick, then we're doing baptism. But Galatians 5:1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, which means live in spiritual liberty. Then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. You're not a slave no more. This is a call to action, cherish our freedom in Christ. And then we got to open this suitcase up. And as we open this suitcase up, one of the things is the baggage is still there. But I got to redo something with the baggage that's here, amen? So I got to come to the place where I begin to understand that, you know what, that's just too much. And I really don't need that anyways. And I already threw the trash Kansas City away, amen? So I already got rid of the trash out of there. But you begin to look at this, that what's happened now is I begin to empty what God can fill up. I begin to allow God to work in my life. Can you say amen? As believers, we're told to put aside, and that's what we did. We put aside those things that really just don't matter. Remember, a pair of underwear and a Speedo. We're good. We don't need all that suitcase. We don't need things holding us down, dragging us back, and allowing us to go forward. So what is that you have in your suitcase that needs to be unpacked today, right? Now, 1 Peter 2:1-3, therefore rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, all hypocrisy, all envy, all slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good, it says that this crave the pure spiritual milk. We got to crave God's pure word. God, what do you want? We should have a deep, genuine desire for what God wants in our suitcase. Rid yourself, crave pure milk. The Lord has been good to you. That's how you come out of your brokenness. That's how you come out of your addiction. That's how your finances was met. That's how you got married. That's how you got the job that you always wanted. That's what God is telling you. I've already did it for you. Why do you keep reaching back when I told you take it out? Fall it down and be done with it. Let me be God. You are not God. Then we got the byproducts in closing. Byproducts in closing. Let's look at these. This is the positive character traits. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 24, we know these, but the fruits of the Spirit is love, is joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such thing, there is no law. Look here, I got to learn. Instead of having all this, I got to get that out of here. I got to figure out my bag is just a little too heavy still. You know what? I got plenty of room. Hey, this is somebody get this. This is for Paul. That's for Paul. See, there's just a little bit too much in here. I got to keep getting all this junk out of the way. Look, I don't need all this. What I really need is I need, here, this is yours, Tony. I got to get all this out of here because what I need to do is I need to be focused on what God, I'm brand new in Christ. I got to put all this stuff to death. That's not who I am no more. I've been delivered and healed and set free in the name of Jesus. Oh, what do you need to do? What do you need to do? Vanna, come on up here. Come on, Vanna, hurry. Hustle, Vanna. It's the ugliest van I ever seen, but Here you go. I want to take you one at a time. And what we got to do, and he's going to put it in the suitcase. Let's see if this fits in your suitcase. We got to have a little bit of love in there, it says. A little bit of joy in there. A little bit of peace in there. A little bit of patience in there. A little bit of kindness in there. A little bit of goodness. A little bit of faithfulness. A little bit of gentleness. A little bit of self-control. Whoa! I got room now. Oh, look at that. You want to put some more in there, honey? See, all of a sudden, we can carry the luggage. We can do what God called us to do. He's brought you from addiction and brokenness. He's brought you from bankruptcy. He's restored you, and he's healed you, and he's trying to fill you. He wants you to empty the baggage of the past. He wants you to walk into your future. He wants you to have the joy of the Lord. He wants you to be content and happy and full of love. Oh, yes. Look at that. Look at that. We look at this scripture in verse 24, and those who are Christ's, if you are Christ, have been crucified, and you have crucified the flesh with his passions and his desires. You're beginning to produce, listen to this, you produced by believers who live according to the Spirit. You have crucified, you have killed the flesh, you have wiped out those things that keep calling you backwards. Colossians 3:12, therefore, of God, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion and kindness and humility, gentleness, patience. As we look at this, compassion, humility, and forgiveness, that is pure spiritual milk. We have to unpack. We have to rid ourselves of all vices, neglecting God and others, malice, deceit, and hypocrisy, envy, slander, and every form that corrupts us. We got to rid it, unpack the bags, and begin to go forward. And all this comes down to this. If you're being baptized, come on up here today. Line up on this side. We got to do Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 2. We got to fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Turn yourself and your attention away from anything that is distractions to you or your spiritual walk. If it's not for Christ, it's not for you. Empty your bags, and you'll begin to understand what you're really missing. Are you ready to really empty your bags? No, I kind of lack where I'm at. I'm just not really quite ready to die for myself. God says, listen to me. Listen to me. Do you hear what I'm saying? So every how you got to empty your bags, I'm going to tell you this, is that one of these young ladies is up here today, I can speak for sure, is that she's emptied her bag. I've been a Christ follower, but I needed to empty my bag. As a matter of fact, Savannah, God gave me this message just for you. God wants to use you in a supernatural way, and you know that. God's going to heal your land. God says all that stuff that you see in your whole life is going away. When you get dunked in that water, girls, and Shaquan, you're going to come up brand new. You're going to see different. You're going to talk different. You're going to look different. It's like Moses. When Moses come down off that mountaintop, they seen that Shekinah glory. They said, man, something, what in the world is that all about? And he said, hey, it's just the Lord. It's the Lord is surrounding me. That's what baptism is. So as Mark would come up and Karina would come on up, any of the family that wants to come up, come up with your loved ones. Sound probably don't even have this mic on we need. Sound guys, you got to keep an eye on them. Oh, that was me. Never mind. I'm going to add it real quick while we're doing this. Dylan, please get it done next time. You're the babysitter. All right, so I got to turn a lot of stuff on here. I got to shut a lot of people off, or otherwise you'd be hearing everybody talking. They're supposed to be talking. All right.
Can you hear me all right? Can you hear me now?
All right, as these folks make their way up here to the end of the baptism and their family comes up, keep on making your way up. This is a great day, amen. 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 Listen, I'm going to go ahead and give you a little sneak peek. Is that if God's telling you, unpack your bag today, come on. We got extra towels and extra whatever you need. We'll dry you all up, sop you up with love before you ever leave, amen? But whatever God's telling you, don't act like this is just for these three people that's up here today. Amen. God's up to something mighty and magnificent, and we get to witness this. And this morning, I want to introduce to you first Savannah. Savannah's from Cleveland, Georgia area, or Cleveland, Ohio area. And she's related to what she got found. I'm going to let her explain all this to you. So don't touch this mic, but go ahead and come up here nice and close and talk to it.
Okay. Hi, everyone. I'm so excited for this. But I am related to Thomasina. I'm from Cleveland, Ohio. And it's a spiritual journey for me here. So I'm willing to learn. I'm willing to make the mistakes to prosper in God. And, like, this is really exciting for me. Like, the love I have for God is so amazing.
Amen. Yeah.
But I was reading in Romans chapter 6, and it was talking about the baptism of God and everything, how we die like Jesus and we rise again like Jesus. And I was just so excited.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I just text Pastor Sims. I was like, so I want to get baptized. Amen. And I know what else to say, because I was like walking around my room, like, because it's really hard for me to ask for things that I want. And I know that it comes from a good place, but it's like the devil, he will try to be like, you don't need that, you don't want that, but I'm coming out of that. And
that's right. Amen.
So.
Amen. Hallelujah. Woo. You got anything else you want to tell him?
No, I think I'm done.
All right.
Sorry.
She says she's going to go ahead and preach if you don't mind. Just hold on.
I want you to tell everybody, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior.
Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior.
Amen. And I want to tell you, when I met this young lady a few weeks ago, I told her, and I got a chance to tell her, there's something very unique and very special about you, and he's got something for you. I didn't encourage her to get in the water. I didn't encourage her to do anything. I just told her that, and then God started dealing with her. Okay, so I want to share this. When she gave me that call from Cleveland, she meant it. She said, I want to get baptized. Woo. And she said, can I do it? I think it was like Friday. Can I do it tomorrow or Sunday? I said, no. I can't just throw you in the water that fast. But the truth was, I said, I want to make it happen. So that's why we added this. But God changed my message today to let you know that message is for you. You also, and not only, but you also, is that don't hold on to all the stuff that's weighing you down. Throw it out. Go ahead and do what God called you to do. Amen? So who wants to help baptize her? Come on up here. Who wants to help? Go ahead and grab her hand, and you want to hold your nose? All right, now, Savannah, I'm going to tell you something. I expect that when you go down, something's going to die, and God's going to give birth to something that's mighty and magnificent, to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, we're going to baptize you now in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And in Jesus' name, hallelujah! Thank you, Lord! Oh, yes! Oh, yes, Lord! We say yes, Lord! Hallelujah! Yes, Lord! Yes, Lord! Yes! Thank you, Jesus. Praise your holy name. Thank you, Father. Glory!
Hallelujah!
Woo!
Woo!
Thank you, Jesus. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Woo! Well, something just happened.
Yep.
As they like to say, we're from next. Come on, run this way, honey. I'm proud of you. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Well, look here. It's a family affair. You have a seat if you want to.
Hallelujah.
Now, listen. The way this family started coming to this church was because of this little girl, which ain't so little no more.
Yeah.
She's a mother. She's an adult now, but it's because they seen Christ in her. And they said for the first time she was able to listen and do this, because we'll give you a directive. If not, you ain't going to church. And she got it done. They said, man, whatever's going on here, we want some of that. And so she was one of our kids club kids, how she got started here. Now she's a mother of two. And God's using Brekalah in a supernatural way. Now, the enemy's tried, just like we talk about, you keep it in your bag long enough, he'll deter you. But if you bind that bag up in the name of Jesus and you begin to put the fruits of the Spirit in it, the enemy can't do nothing with that. So I want to have Brekalah. You want to share anything, honey? You want to share anything? Well, if you can't see it, boy, you can see the joy of the Lord all over her. Amen. I'm proud of you. I'm very proud of you. Tell everybody, Jesus is my Lord.
Jesus is my Lord.
Amen. Jesus is her Lord. Amen. Come on in, huh? Yeah, come on.
Amen.
You can hold your nose if you want to. Grab this elbow right here. And now, Brekalah, we're going to lay y'all way back, and we're going to baptize you now in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and in Jesus' name. Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Ain't God good?
Yes.
Now, if y'all been in the battle with us for her soul, we've been battling for that soul. Praise Jesus. Amen. This young man's coming up now. This young man reached out to me a few weeks ago, and he told me, he said, I want a better relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you haven't had an opportunity and the pleasure of meeting Shaquan, he's a great guy. Shaquan started working for us temporary at my shop, but it's cool because I also see the character of Christ in Shaquan. And what I see in him is a man who wants to follow God. And I keep telling him, you got to just do what's right. You just got to do what's right. Just like work. Show up on time. Do what's right. Go home on time. Come every day. Do those things. He does those things. And I said, God will honor you, man. So it doesn't matter what the enemy intended for bad. God will get glory out of it. So, Shaquan, I want to ask, do you want to share anything this morning?
In my life growing up and everything, it was like kind of hard, really. Like from having PTSD and everything and being like beaten all the time and all that stuff growing up and hanging out the wrong crowd, thinking that was all cool and it really wasn't. Yeah, and then, you know, drinking heavy and everything just to try to cope with everything going on and trying to sell drugs and thought it was awesome and everything. Really, in actuality, it was life-threatening a couple times. And then the only person that really had helped me when I had found Brandy and she had came into my life, she was directing me into the right way, even though I was trying to fight it and everything, and I was lost. And now I'm actually coming back to where it's like a real straight, narrow path. That's the right way to go.
Amen, brother. Amen. So when I hear a story like this, this is a lot of our stories, right? This is our story. What the enemy intended for bad, how the devil uses people, places, and things. God's going to get glory out of it. And so now, you know, he comes to work. He's got a sign out the interstate and a countertop and everywhere. Trust Jesus. Trust Jesus. He said, man, this stuff must be real, man. I said, it is real, brother. This is who we are. We don't have nothing but Christ, and we don't have nothing to hide. We love Jesus. Amen. I want you to tell everybody, Shaquan, that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior.
Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior.
Amen. You want help? Now we're going to lay y'all way back. We're going to baptize you now in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and in Jesus' name. Hallelujah! Wait, let me get that warm wet. Got to get it off. There you go, buddy. If you don't want to know what I was doing, I said, hey, man, you held on to the baptism. Your arms are dry. It's got to go, too. We didn't want to do no partial baptism, full submersion, amen. Hey, look here, we got another one. Come on up, buddy. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Come on down. Woo. This is our youth ministry we're talking about. We shared last night the devil, matter, and hell about it. We went from 3 or 4 to about 24. And so God's growing that teen ministry, and God's doing incredible and miraculous things in there. So I want to have Sean, it's our youth pastor, I want to have Sean share this one. Go ahead, sir.
All right, this is Sonny, incredible man of God. He's going to Catholic Central where I went to high school, so we connected on that immediately. But this is a man of God that wants to serve Christ. He understands what he's getting into, and he understands the kingdom that he's going to be fighting for, and I can't be prouder.
You want to say anything? Nope. He doesn't want to say anything, but I know he knows this. You know, he's been in my life since he was a baby. And so I got a picture of him hanging in my office when his mom's holding him as an infant. And it was when he was doing some gardening, and we were sowing seed into that baby. And, you know, and his mom and dad's been divorced for quite a few years. But wouldn't you know that God, all the way down to Beaver Creek, put his dad right in my crosshairs 2 weeks ago. And I said, man, you need to come to church, brother. I said, I ain't seen you forever. And I told Sonny, I said, I want you to come to church, man. I said, your kids are coming, and this is where you need to be at. So I'm praying on Jessica, and I want you to pray specifically for Sonny, his father, that he would come to know Christ and come to church. So I'm proud of you, man. I want you to tell everybody Jesus is your Lord and Savior. I got to do that first.
Jesus is the Lord and Savior.
Amen. You can hold your nose. We're going to baptize you. We'll take you all the way under. We're going to baptize you now in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Well, that's what we always say. Look what the Lord did. Now, listen, just so you know, only two of these were scheduled for baptism today. So that shows you that people are checking baggage again today. I want to invite everybody who has a birthday today to come straight on forward. If you have a birthday today, come on up. Well, this week, the month. Oh, wait, never mind. I forgot something. I told you. You guys got to stay on top of me. We ain't done yet. We got another service today. We got to dedicate some babies. And they're trying to think I'm going to forget this baby's name. Come on over here. They said, hey, you ain't going to remember that, are you? I said, I sure will. What is it again? They told me, I said, give me something else. They said, Grace. I said, I can remember Grace. Amen. So today, I want to share with you, this is Brekayla and her newborn baby, Grace. What's the baby's real name?
Sienna.
Everybody get that? Sienna. All right. So as a church, you're not allowed to forget that no more.
Mama.
You scared me to death, man. So you can't forget that anymore, because at this point, what we're going to ask you to do is take charge to this family and for Michaela and for Grace. We're going to pray for them no matter what's happening, no matter what they go through. We're not going to let them down. We're not going to quit on them. We're going to pray for them. We're going to love them. We're going to do what we're supposed to do as a church. That's what a loving church family is to do. So I'm always reminded of this, is that when we do a baby dedication, this is how important it is, not only to the family, but to you as the body of believers. We believe this, that what the very first baby dedication there was Abraham and Isaac. We know that Abraham wanted to dedicate his baby to Christ, Isaac. So he went, and he went up to the mountaintop, and he went to sacrifice him. And as he laid that baby on that altar, he waited so long, over 100 years, for what God told him was, now I'm going to give him back to you. Now I want you to take that baby, and I want you to raise that baby in admiration to the Lord. So the question for Brekayla this morning is this. Will you, Brekayla, raise this baby in admiration unto the Lord?
Yes.
Grandma, will you be a grandmother and raise this child
of course.
In admiration to the Lord? And grandfather?
Yes, in Jesus' name.
Yes. Thank you. And then I get, what is it, auntie,
yeah.
Cousin? Yes. You, the church family, will you hold this family up before the Lord and love them in the good times, the bad times, and the hard times? Extend your hand towards them, and let's pray. Father, we ask right now, as you've given Brekayla such a precious gift as Grace, that God, you would bestow upon her the blessings of a mother, that you would allow her to stand firm today. God, what an incredible example on the dedication of Grace, that you would allow Brekayla to be baptized into your name. God, we thank you today as she and this family begins to take the charge that we will raise this baby in admiration to the Lord. God, she is yours, and God, you've entrusted us to raise her. God, we surrender all to you. We surrender grace to you. We love this baby. We love our family. And God, we ask that you protect and you surround her with legions of angels throughout her life to ordain her for the call on her life. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. All right, praise team, come on up quickly. Praise team's going to come up. And we're going to do birthdays real quick. We're going to close with the last song, that little slow one you have. Where's all the birthday people? Come on. Come on, Fred, get up here and get your Kansas City stuff. If you don't know, Fred's is a Cleveland fan. Does anybody in this whole place like Kansas City? Yeah. We pray for her. All right, come on up. You got a birthday. Hustle up, you guys. Preacher took too long, right? Okay, everybody got baptized right across the front right here. No, that one, you real quick one. Yeah. So we're going to have all the baptisms, birthdays. Oh, birthdays coming up here in May. Don't be ashamed of me. Look, I unpacked your bag for you today. Come on up here, William. Look at all these birthdays. Woo! Okay, I know you don't know all their names, so I'm going to give you all the names, and then you just got to remember them in order. So here we go.
Cindy.
Renzo.
William.
Fred.
Sandy.
Debbie.
Rico.
Brandy.
Guys, that? Okay. Who said they got them? All right, Tawana, go. Say them all, just by yourself. Can't remember her own family. All right, praise team's going to sing Happy Birthday to you guys. We want to celebrate you today. Go ahead, praise team.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Cindy, Marie, Lorenzo, Will, Fred, Sandy, Debbie, Rico, and Brandy. Happy birthday. Happy birthday,
happy birthday to ya.
Happy birthday to ya. Happy birthday.
All right. Now we're gonna close what we call a birthday celebration. Now get ready for it. It's very quick, very to the point. Then we're gonna go down the hallway, cake and ice cream. Everybody got that? Make sure you hug on the folks together that got baptized today.
Everybody
too. On. All right, let's go. Let's hit it.